great resurrection chapter to give us the capstone of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, there is a way of salvation. It is through Jesus Christ by faith. You can come to Jesus Christ in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too shall enjoy and be part of the resurrection. Amen. Or the rapture if the Lord comes before you die. And so I'm looking forward to that. Now, it's amazing to me, but it's not amazing. But just as soon as the Apostle Paul finishes chapter 15, and I believe we had like 8 or 9 messages through there, he turns his attention, or we would say, to the division of the last chapter, 16, and he goes from the eclipse of the gospel of the resurrection to reminding us of the practicality of everyday church life, and that is this: don't forget the offering. Now that's a good Baptist preacher right there. If you're a Baptist preacher and you preach one time on offerings or on giving, they'll say about you, that's all he preaches about is money. Well, I preach on it when I come to it in the text. And so Paul reminds them of the offering that they're taking up. And then I want to continue on today and look at verses 5 through 12. And I believe in these passages of Scripture, you'll see something that I think is very relevant. And that's the work of the Lord's business. The work of the Lord, His business, church life, what it's involved in it. And while He may not give us any great doctrinal dissertations, He gives us some practicality as He talks to them about Timothy and Apollos and his work and what God's doing in his life. And when you look at this, you're like, hey, this is the business of the church. This is the Lord's business at work. So I want to remind you here in what he says. Look at verse number 5, 1 Corinthians 16. We've saw now the offering that he's turned concerning the collection. I give you order upon the first day of the week, which shows that we come together on Sunday. We take up our offerings on Sunday. We take up our faith promise on Sunday. We give our money. We don't have to, and it's sacrificial. It's sacrifice, especially offerings. We are to give our tithes, and then we're to give our offerings. And you're not right with God if you don't give. Just write it down. I'll sign it for you later on. But in verse 5, here's what Paul says as he's closing out this book. Now, I think there's something here, and then I want to talk about the addiction that Stephanus had to the ministry, and then I want to talk, preach on the last part, Anatha, Maranatha. So those are the next two messages I would like to look at. But in verse 5, the Bible says this: Now, I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now he is writing the book of 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. And if you were in our Sunday school, we're a little bit behind than everybody else, but you'll notice that Paul had a great desire to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Ephesus on the second missionary journey, but the Spirit forbade him and led him to go to Macedonia, where the gospel went to Europe. So now Paul is in Ephesus on that third missionary journey, and he is writing this letter to the Corinthians. And he's telling them, hey, I'm going to come and see you. I will winter with you if possible. But right now, there is a work for me to continue to do in Ephesus. And when I'm done here, I'll move on to the next phase of my ministry. But notice what he says in verse number 9 about Ephesus. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come and see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him. Why would they despise Timothy? Well, he was young and he was half Jewish and half Greek. And so there's a lot of reasons. But mainly, we understand that later on Paul would say, let no man despise thy youth. So when Timothy gets there, don't let him be afraid of you. Make sure that you understand he is a minister just like I am. verse 11, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Father, I pray this morning, as we look at these verses from the book of Corinthians, we may understand that you actually give us some things to understand about the Lord's business, the Lord's work, the work of the church. And Lord, it's revealed, I believe, very succinctly in the verses that I just read. I pray that we would comprehend them. I pray that we would understand that we are to be about God's business. Just as Jesus Christ said to his parents at the age of 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. And Lord, we must be about your business. We are not concerned about the social affairs of this world. We are not concerned about COVID and all of the ramifications. Lord, that's not our concern. That is not our ministry. That is not what you've called us to do. Lord, you've called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to edify the saints, to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to see people that they might understand there is a way of salvation, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding is available through the Word of God. And that's what Paul did in each of his journeys of church planting. God, help me to preach the Word of God today. I pray for that one soul that may be here without Christ, that they would understand today that today could be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this morning. Now for me personally, it's hard to believe we're in the last chapter of this book. And last week, we saw the principle of giving, the very principle of coming on the first day of the week and laying aside what God has allowed. And I'll just say this, that the tithes of the people of God go for the work of the church, the lights, the paying the staff, the pastor, and all of those things. And listen, we don't have book sales. We don't sell anything to raise money. We don't have bake sales. We don't have whatever it is that organizations do to try to raise money. No, God's people are to put their tithe into the offering plate. A tithe is easy to understand, 10% of what God has blessed you with. And then we don't just stop at tithing. We have offerings, and sometimes we have building offerings, and sometimes we have monies for special occasions. Maybe on a Wednesday night, we might say our special offering for this. And so we take up more money. And then we have faith promise mission giving, where we give to that missionaries might go around the world. So giving, giving, giving is all part of our Christian life. That's the practical side of our Christian life. So that's what Paul spoke about in those first few verses. And then this message today brings us to the place where Paul is giving, I believe, some explanation, maybe without even doing it, but by him giving this advice about Timothy and what his plans are and what God is doing in his life and how he is leading him from Ephesus to take the offering up and take it to Jerusalem. And later on, we'll know that Paul will go to Rome and he will there write many of the books of the Bible that we read today. So God had a plan for Paul's life. God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan for my life. And God wants to work through, He wants to work through you. He wants to work in you. The first plan for God's life is this, for your life is that you know that you're saved. Because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And just as Brother Gamble did in our Sunday school, he talked about how that if you're looking for opportunity, you'll find it through the Word of God. If you're looking to know how to be saved, you can only find that through the Word of God. You cannot find that through religion. You cannot find that through social activities. You cannot find that in the political world. You got to find that through the Word of God. And so we know that God is not willing that any should perish and that all would come to repentance. So that's very clear. So basically, when we do the business of God, it's not just busy work, but it is the work of the gospel. I want you to understand, the Lord's work is the work of really, there's two things if you could break it down in the Lord's work. And I believe Paul is going to kind of summarize that, but it's just basically broken down. I can break it down in two very simple principles. Number one, the business of the Lord's work is the gospel. It's the spreading of the gospel. That's called evangelism. That's evangelizing. That is going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. That's what God commissioned the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to do. So he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Paul did. He went from place to place, city to city, region to region, and he preached the gospel. And there, and the Bible will tell you very clear, in those cities that Paul preached, there were those who wanted to hear the gospel. And they called upon the Lord and they got saved. There was also great opposition wherever the gospel was preached. And you'll see that in the text today. So that's number one. So number one is to evangelize. And number two is edification. So in other words, either we evangelize or we edify. So when we come together and we're on a Sunday morning service like this, or we're in Sunday school, or we come back tonight and preach on Engedi, the place where the goats go, the place where goats go, we'll look at that. That we're edifying, we're preaching, we're telling what the Bible says, we're exposing the Scripture, we're learning doctrine, we're learning what kind of life we should live as a Christian. That's what we do. That's what church is all about. Church is not to come together from some kind of social status or whatever it might be. No, I ain't got time for that. We come to preach the gospel, evangelize, or to edify the saints. And I don't know about you, but I need church. I need in-person church. I need to be where God's people are. And I need the encouragement of God's word. That's the twofold work of the ministry. This is actually, and by the way, can I say it like this? This is actually what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did himself when he was on the earth. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So basically, he preached the gospel to those who did not know him, and he taught those who did know him. I think we try to make Christianity maybe too complicated. It's not that complicated. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Make sure that people know there's a way of salvation. Then make sure people know that God has a way that we're to go. Now, if you go to back to verse 58 of chapter 15, the very last verse of chapter 15, remember what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word of God will never go forth and go out in vain, ever. It will always accomplish its purpose. I also heard Brother Chris Gamble say this morning. The Word of God will be preached here, but what you do with it is your choice. I can't save anybody. I don't have that ability. But I can tell you what the Bible says. I can preach the Word of God. So our job in the Lord's work is to evangelize the lost and edify the saved. Let me put it like this. When anyone builds a building, they do it according to a plan. All right? So you have this plan. We call it blueprints. If you live in Greene County, Missouri, let me just say this. Not only do you need a plan, you need to make sure that the plan meets the codes that are required for that particular building. And sometimes they want you to jump through a hoop. I don't want to go into this. I want to try to stay spiritual. But anyhow, before the building can be used, it must pass inspection to see that all the codes were followed. So every time you get done with one part of the building, There'll be an inspector that will come and will inspect that coated building. Well, let me just tell you like this. In the same way that we build buildings and we do it by architectural plans, and within those plans are codes and things that must be met, in our text, I believe that God is telling us to do His business His way. Amen. And it must meet His approval. To do the Lord's work, it must pass inspection according to God's plans and God's codes revealed in the Scripture, and it must be subject to the supervision and inspection of the Holy Ghost of God. Everybody with me so far? Don't leave me now. 2 Timothy 2:15 says it like this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So what do we need to do in the Lord's work? Well, number one, I'm going to tell you something. You got to have a vision. Look at verse number 5. Now, Paul said this. "Now, I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do," or what the idea is, because where I'm going, I've got to come through Macedonia. My trip that is going to take me to Jerusalem, I've got to come through Macedonia. Now, we know that travel was not the same today as it was then. We learned that in Sunday school. Sometimes they had to take a ship. Sometimes they had to go across winds that were contrary. Sometimes the winds would be with them. Sometimes they would have to walk. Sometimes they may have some kind of animal. But they had a lot of traveling. But here's what I want you to understand. Paul was always thinking about what he needed to be doing next. He had a vision for God's work. He was always concerned that the gospel go where it hadn't been before, and that God's people, if they needed help, then he wanted to be a part of it. What do you call that? You call that a vision. The reason that we have a Faith Promise Mission Conference every year is because Berean Baptist Church needs to have a vision, not just for Springfield, Missouri, but for the whole world. The state of Missouri, the United States, and the whole world. The world needs the gospel. Springfield needs the gospel. Missouri needs the gospel. Everybody thinks that whatever their little niche is, that that's what people need. And you listen to politicians and you think that anything can be done by money. Money is not the answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. It is what will save your soul and give you a home in heaven and give you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And a church needs to have a vision of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul had a vision. Paul, he was making plans. He said, "Listen, my vision, my plan, my thought process is I want to come to Macedonia." And so when we're doing the Lord's work in the present, we must keep in mind the future. When we're doing the Lord's work in the present, we better keep in mind what's going on in the future. Now, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. So if you think about it, Paul had planned to visit Corinth after going through Macedonia. Macedonia was a region, and we know that Philippi was one of the cities there. Even while he was busy in Ephesus, where he was writing the book from, he was planning his next steps of ministry. He was thinking about what he was... By the way, he spent 3 years. He went there in Ephesus. He stayed there 3 years. Think about this. The Bible said when he was in Ephesus that all of Asia heard the word of God. Now in the Greek that means all of Asia heard the word of God. Now it wasn't just through Paul, but there was men there like Timothy and even Apollos and Gaius and Trophimus and Tychius and other men that are mentioned that were there with Paul. You see, he was planning what God would have him to do next. You got to have a vision, folks. That's part of the ministry. Paul was working, but he was planning. He was looking for opportunities to help in the giving of the poor saints at Jerusalem, and he was looking for places where the gospel needed to be preached. He was working, but at the same time, he was training others. You know why he trained others? Because he had a vision. He knew that one day his time would be up. And by the way, can I tell you, Paul, as he's making this plan, His ministry is winding down as far as church planting. His ministry is not over by any stretch of the imagination, but he was getting ready for a transition. He was getting ready from pastor missionary slash, he was always an apostle, but he was getting ready to take up the offering. He was ready to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to Rome. He had all of these plans, and he ended up in Rome, but it wasn't exactly the way that he planned. You see, because God's ways are many times different than our ways. So that would give you the next reason, the next thing that you need to understand about ministry. Not only do you have to have vision, but you have to have flexibility. Because he said, now listen, it may be, verse number 6, it may be that I will winter with you. And then if I am able to winter you, maybe it will be that you will bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. You know what Paul is saying? Maybe I will be able to come to you. Maybe I won't be able to come to you. Maybe I'll be able to get there in time to winter with you. Maybe I won't. It has to be the Lord's will. He even says that in verse 7. He said, if the Lord permit. You know what Paul was doing? Paul was planning. Paul had a vision, but Paul understood that sometimes our plans are not God's plans. So you know what we need? Flexibility. I mean, if somebody had called me a year and a half or 2 years ago and said, now, Brother Abels, let me tell you something. There's getting ready to be this thing called COVID. Then I'd say, Covis? No, not Clovis or Covis, but COVID. I may have retired. No, because there's many adversaries. In Romans chapter 15, while Paul was taking the offering to Jerusalem, he had a vision of going to Rome, and his vision would be completed just in a different way. You know what that's called? Vision with flexibility. When Nehemiah went to Artaxerxes for permission to go to Jerusalem, you know what? He had a plan. He had a purpose. He wanted to see the walls built so that the people of God could be protected. You know what? It didn't always work out exactly the way Nehemiah wanted it to work out, but he had a vision, and he had a plan, and he had a purpose, and he wanted to do the will of God. Same thing with Paul. Never more in my lifetime have we seen the need for flexibility than in the area of COVID. I was looking back on my notes last year. Do you know how many letters I wrote to the church during COVID? At least 7 or 8. Remember those letters? I'd write out and I'd say, well, folks, you know, I'm not sure about this COVID thing. I didn't believe that little fella from the day one. I just tell you that. I told my wife when he trotted out there, had to stand on the platform and say, don't wear a mask, do wear a mask, do this, do that, do that. I said, no, I don't know about this fella. But I do know this. I love my people. So I don't know if we should wear a mask or not wear a mask. I don't know if we should be 6 feet away from each other or 2 feet away from each other or 10 feet away from each other. I didn't even know if it's okay to kiss my wife. But she got the COVID and I kissed her and I got the COVID. You know what I'm saying? She breathed right on me. Then you'd read an article about, well, if you can't sing. So you can go to church, but you can't sing. It took me a while, and I'm just telling you, I wrote this letter. I'd say, now listen, folks, I want the best for us. I mean, you know, everybody needs to be careful. I mean, if you're like old, you better really be careful. I mean, that's what they're saying. Well, I've since learned this. Nobody knows. Amen. Nobody knows anything. And I, at some point, I quit washing my hands. And I went back to eating dirt like I've told y'all to do in the first place. I said, we need to have faith, not fear. COVID is real. I'm not saying it's not real. People get really sick. People die. Bad things happen. People have it and get over it just like that. People have it and get sick for 2 weeks. People do this. People do that. People do this. And I am not being political. I don't care if you get a vaccine or not. I really don't. I don't care if you say, I don't want a vaccine. That's your business. If you want to get a vaccine, get a vaccine. If you don't want to get a vaccine, don't get a vaccine. Just don't let COVID ruin your life and become a hermit somewhere and not do anything. That's not God's will. God's will is still that we gather together as God's people. Well, I'm afraid. Well, get over fear. Because you don't know. By the way, if you get in your car and you drive in Springfield, you have a very likelihood of getting killed right there. Especially if you're driving Glenstone. But I even though I know there's accidents, I'm not quitting driving. And even though I know COVID's out there, and you say, well, you get it. You'll find, I've already had it, and if I get it again and I die of it, I don't want to die. I want to see my grandkids get married. I want to pastor this church. I want to do all those things, all right? But some things we don't have any control over. So just go ahead and write it down. And don't live your life in fear. Used to when we would have a flu or some kind of pandemic, we let it run its course, not treat it with like communistic philosophies. America. One time last year, somebody came in and go, well, I see you're not wearing masks. I said, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. This is America. If you don't want to wear a mask, you don't have to wear a mask. I don't care if you wear a mask or not. I don't care if you get vaccinated or not. Well, preacher, I think you need to take a stand. I just did. Flexibility. Paul told them, I may abide with you in the winter. I may not. Whatever the Lord permits. And here's what I want you to understand. Our plans should always be subject to the Lord making the changes. Life changes fast. And while we must have vision in the work of the ministry, we must also have flexibility. As we grow and mature and develop in our spiritual walk with God, God's plan for our lives will often move us in some direction that we were never even thinking about. That's God. He can do with us as He pleases. Paul was coming to the end of one ministry in church planting that God used in many ways, but he was going into a different phase of ministry, and he was going to be writing the Bible. He was going to be going to Rome. He was going to eventually die for the cause of Christ. And I don't think Paul wanted to be stoned. I don't think Paul wanted to die. But he did the work of the Lord with vision and flexibility. Paul made sure that his life's work had some flexibility. And he said, hey, when I pass through Macedonia, I want to come to Corinth. Why did he want to come to Corinth? He wanted to look them in the eye. He wanted to preach to them. He wanted to take up the offering. He wanted to make sure that he knew them. Because sometimes when you write a letter, sometimes people write things on Facebook or on Twitter or in Instagram, they'd never say to somebody face to face. And I think that's wicked. They just get on there and start typing like the faceless people, and they say things they shouldn't say. And I'm telling you, that's wicked. If I write something on Twitter, I should be willing to say the same thing to that person's face. And Paul had just written a very rebuking letter called 1 Corinthians. And he said, I'm going to come to you and look you in the eye. I want to make sure that you know I love you. That I'm writing this letter because there's some problems in the church. I want you to understand that you are not to neglect the Lord's Supper. I want you to know that you're not to have division in the church. I want you to know you're not to allow sin in the church. I want you to know there is no question about the resurrection. It will take place. And the earthly will, the flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom of God. You will have a glorified, changed body when you get to heaven. And you'll be the same person, but yet you'll be different. He told them all that. And then he said, don't forget the offering. And by the way, I'll come to you on my way to Macedonia. I'm going to come there. And it may be that I'll be able to winter with you. And if I can, man, it'll be awesome. We'll be able to meet together all winter. If the Lord permits. And then he said this, but I still got work to do in Ephesus. And so what I'm telling you in this text is he's telling them, make sure your plans are God's plans. Because God's ways are higher than your ways. There are many things that come along in life that are beyond our control. COVID. I can't get over that because I was preaching for a guy last year and he said, now, we got a lot of people that are not. I said, hey, brother, I believe me, I know. I've seen it. I've seen the run of the gamut. I live right in Springfield, Missouri. I've seen the pressure that they want to put on us. I've seen this. They want you to meet 6 feet. They don't want you to have church. They want you to do this. They don't want you. I said, I've seen all that. He said, we had this little bus kid, hadn't come in like 3 weeks, and so I went over there to check on him, and he said he came running out on the porch. He said, preacher, stay away, unclean. We got to COVID. So that's why I say that. It's COVID. 19, 20, COVID 21. Next year will be COVID 22. By the way, if it ain't COVID, it'll be something else. Because there are many adversaries. But we just need to make sure that our plan, that we got to know that God's sovereign and He has the right to change our plans, even if there are good plans. And again, like Sunday school this morning, it was a good plan for Paul to want to go to Ephesus, but it wasn't God's plan. Amen. And he followed the Lord into Europe. Paul made sure that his life's work had some flexibility. He was aware of the fact that he was not always able to go where he wanted to go or do what he wanted to do. And no matter how sincere and unselfish and spiritual his motives were, he had to follow God. Just like on that second missionary journey, wanting to go to Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit called him to Macedonia. Number three, not only do we need in the ministry, we need vision. Our church needs vision. Our church needs flexibility. But we need to be faithful. Look at verse number 7. He said, for I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now, I believe right there, he was saying this, I have to be faithful where I'm at right now. I've got to finish the work God's called me to do. And here's why he had to do that. He says, I'm going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And he said, the reason why is there's a great door and effectual is open unto me. Then there's a little comma. And then he says this, and there are many adversaries. Now, God wants our best. And he wants us to be faithful in our service to him. And sometimes we got to understand efficiency in God's work takes time, years. The Lord's work is not done in a week. It's done over a period of years and decades. And I know that we find that Paul stayed 18 months establishing and pastoring this church called Corinth. And by the way, by his standards of church planting, that was a long, long time. And then to go to Ephesus and stay 3 years, that's a long, even longer. But you see, even though Paul had established these churches, he wanted God's will, and he knew that he had to be flexible, but he also would say to the church at Corinth, if you'll remember, and if you're reading through your Bible reading right now, he even said that in our Bible, it is required in a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. We've got to be faithful. Faithful to edify, faithful to preach the gospel, faithful to train men for the ministry, faithful to see that men go into the regions beyond. If he could, he wanted to at least spend the winter with the Corinthians before he went on to Jerusalem. He had a vision, he had a plan. He wanted not just to write this rebuking letter, he wanted to see them face to face. He wanted another opportunity to teach and to preach. And he knew this, and I've learned this, and the older you get, the more you know it. Doing the Lord's work takes years. Sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you can't see it as good as when you get over on the other side of it and you're able to look back. And you're like, wow, God was working mightily, and God was doing this, and God was doing that. And God didn't tell me, and he doesn't tell you, anything less than just be faithful where you're at. Do the Lord's work. In Ephesus, Corinth, Macedonia, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, Athens, Greece. Be flexible. Have a vision for the ministry. Be faithful. He wanted not... doing the work of God takes years. Keep on keeping on. Preach the word. God builds the church. But we're to be faithful. Paul still had work to do in Ephesus, so he had to finish one job before he could move on to the next. When you're faithful, doors will open, and when they open, you walk through them. And when you get through them on the other side, guess what you'll find? Problems, opposition, adversaries. I think about Stephen and Philip back in early in the book of Acts. They were two of the deacons in the church at Jerusalem. They were called upon to believe. Their job was to relieve widows. But later on, they were called to go out and preach to others. Whatever your opportunity to serve is, then do it. And when you do things faithfully, God's way, God's opportunities will open up new ministries. And then you better do this if you're going to be in the ministry. If we're at church is going to do ministry, and our church, this we are ministry. Amen. Guess what else is going to happen? Opposition. That's the part I don't really like. I've never liked confrontation. People think I'd like it. I do not. I just don't believe we should back down from it. Opposition. Be flexible, have a vision, be faithful, and then just go ahead and write this down. Expect opposition. If you're not doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way, you'll get no opposition. If you're doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way, going forward, you're going to get opposition. There is no such thing as church work without opposition. God's people cannot afford to allow opposition to hinder the Lord's work. Because things are going to happen. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Whenever there is progress, problems always seem to hang around. Progress seems to always be followed by problems. You know why? Satan seems to always find a way into the presence of the work that is being done for God. This may be a sign of doing what God wants you to do. You'll notice that Paul did not allow the opposition that he faced to stop him from serving God. Well, preacher, do you have any, like, is there any, like, examples? Yeah, go to the book of Acts and look at chapter number 19. Let's do this real quick. We got time because I haven't even looked at the clock, so I don't even know what time it is. But in Acts chapter 19, I want you to look. Let me say some things before I get to Acts chapter 19. And the presence of many adversaries did not stop Paul from seeing the wide door of opportunities that God had opened to him. This did not mean that Paul had no concern for the opposition. I don't wake up every morning and say, well, bless God, I hope I have great opposition today. I hope we have great problems. I have great burdens. No. But I'll tell you this, the longer you live, the more you'll see the burdens, the more you'll see the opposition, the more you'll see your troubles and tribulations. But listen, none of those things should keep us from serving God. So he didn't allow the opposition to control his life. He was aware that the fact of opposition was inevitable when serving God. We will not enter into the kingdom of God without much adversity. I see that through the Bible too. It's part of God's work. Praise God for open doors to present the gospel, but they do not always come unless there's adversity on the other side. Paul was in Ephesus. He had doors of opportunity, but there were those who opposed the gospel and tried to bring havoc to Paul and his team of church planters. Acts chapter 19, look at verse number 23. This is Ephesus at that time. Well, verse 22, let me just tell you that. So he sends unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So he sends these two fellas down to Macedonia. Verse 23 says, at that same time there arose no small stir about that way. That way is the way of the gospel. What Paul was doing, he was preaching. So he's there in Ephesus, he's preaching. The Bible says all of Asia Minor heard the word of God. Many people got saved. You know why? Because they attended unto the things of the gospel. But there was those that hated the gospel. Folks, we live in a world of antichrist right now. Does everybody understand that? Everybody watching? Every time I see somebody, I can't help this. I got to say it anyway. I know what. Help me, Lord. If I see somebody in a Prius with a mask on in the car by themselves. And all I can think is, they watch CNN. And if I offended you, I apologize. Well, we might let you have Christmas. We're having Christmas at my house. Amen. And we're having church. Amen. And they had 102,000 people in Tennessee Vol Stadium last night. And it got ugly. I had to turn off the TV. I was embarrassed. I'm just telling you, if you don't know what happened, it was bad. They were throwing golf balls and water bottles at Lane Kiffin, and I don't like Lane Kiffin as a coach because he bailed out on us that time. But I still don't think you should throw a water bottle at him. I don't know how I got on that. Help me, Lord. Okay, back here. Right here. Okay, say. Verse 24, for a certain man, now look at this. So he's preaching, people are getting saved. Verse 24, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So here's a fella who makes his money by making little idols of the goddess Diana, and the city of Ephesus had a major temple to Diana, and that they worshiped her. All of these places had gods that they worshiped that were not Jesus Christ. And you know what? We have people today that worship politics. They worship money. They worship affluency. They worship power. They worship a lot of stuff. Paul comes along and says you shouldn't worship anybody but Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only way of salvation. Right. And people got saved. And guess what happens when people get saved? They quit worshiping Diana. Right. Yeah. And they don't buy any more of those. They don't buy no more liquor. Yeah. And they don't buy shrines that are made to Diana. And guess what that does? It hurts the economic service of guys like Demetrius. So he called together, verse number 25, the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all of Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Amen. Amen. That's what he was preaching. He was preaching that because God is not made with hands. And he said, man, this thing's going crazy. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Archicus, that's two of Paul's men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And Paul, let me just tell you something about this man. He wasn't afraid of anything. And sometimes his brethren had to help him. And when the whole city was filled with confusion and caught these two men, verse 30, and when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples said, oh, Paul, these people are crazy. Don't go in there. And man, can you imagine? I mean, you've seen a football game where people are going crazy over a football. They were going crazy over Diana. And verse 31, and certain of the chief Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoning with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is here that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then these things that kind of be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men who are either robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them plead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly, for we are in danger to be called into question this day. Now let me ask you this. You think that was an adversary? You think there was opposition to the gospel? Oh, absolutely. I don't even have time to go and preach how many times Paul was beaten, left for dead, stoned at Lystra, beaten with rods, 39 stripes, all for the gospel's sake. Did it stop Paul from preaching? Did it stop Paul from witnessing? Did it stop Paul from doing the work of the Lord? No. I say all this to say this, folks. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. But the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more Christianity is spoken against. Amen. So what do? Keep preaching.
Amen.
Keep witnessing.
Right.
Keep going to church. Keep loving people. Because we're not going to enter into the kingdom of God without great adversity. And so you know what we need? Vision, flexibility, be faithful, expect opposition. And I think one more thing. We need to make sure that God's work is teamwork. Look at verse number 10 back in our text. 1 Corinthians 16:10. Now if Timotheus come and see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Now, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren. But right now he's not able to. Let me just stop right there. Paul didn't do the work of the ministry by himself. And I can't even remember how many men have been mentioned just in the text that I read, plus the book of Acts. But I know there was Gaius and Timothy and Erastus. And I know there was Apollos. And I know that there was other men that were working with. Guess what? I don't do everything. I just get to be the preacher. Praise God, I get to preach. But there's a whole lot of work in the ministry that goes on behind the scene. I'll never forget the first hire that I had here at Bryn was Brother Shane Mallard. And I had a vision for Brother Shane, and I had things that he was going to do. And I remember after the first week, Brother Shane goes, "Now, preacher, I got to ask you a question." Comes into my room, and I said, "What is it, brother?" He said, "Do you think there's enough stuff around here to keep me busy?" I chuckled. And I said, "Well, brother, I haven't given you everything the first week. Just hang on." Well, I remember when Brother Shane was getting ready to leave, or he was getting close to where he was going to go down and pastor, and maybe it was a couple of months before, and I said, he said something. I said, "Well, do you need more? Do you need more stuff to do?" "No, no, no, preacher, I don't need any more to do right now." Oh, okay. Teamwork. This church is a team.
Amen.
I can't make all the visits. I can't teach all the classes. I'm certainly not going to work in the nursery. You can write that one down right now. I know I didn't sign a contract when I became the pastor, but if I had, that would have been in it. He will never work in the nursery. Paul had those who helped him. No one person can do the work of the ministry. It takes a whole team. You know what? Every person needs to invite somebody to church. Next week, we should have this place full. Well, what about Covas? Shoot Covas. Paul had sent Timothy and Erastus to Macedonia. Timothy was to go down to Corinth, perhaps to carry this epistle. I believe Paul was concerned that Timothy might be ignored or mistreated by the church at Corinth. The Corinthians were, from this book, we've seen proud, self-sufficient, strong-willed. If they could resist Paul's authority, then it's likely that they might not even give any attention to Timothy. And you know what Paul said? Don't do that.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're 61 or 25. If you're here to do the Lord's work, you're here to do the Lord's work.
Amen.
I've often said it's probably not good for a young man to pastor before he's 30 because nobody will listen to him anyway. But that's not the way it should be.
Amen.
Whoever stands behind this pulpit, even if he's older than me, Melvin Williams, or even if he's younger than me, Tim Alexander, he should be given the same respect.
Amen.
As the Word of God is preached.
Amen.
The Corinthians were to treat him with respect and was not to intimidate or frustrate his work among them. Paul was an apostle. He was Timothy's father in the faith, yet he considered his young friend to be the Lord's faithful worker, as I also am. They were equal in the faith because Timothy was doing the Lord's work, and therefore he was worthy of honor and respect, just as Paul was. No one was to despise him, that is, to think little of him. Wow, teamwork. In fact, I would go on to say just the opposite. He was to be sent back to Paul in peace with the brethren, not alone. He wanted all the servants of the Lord treated like he was. I know what it's like to pastor at the age of 29 versus the age of 61. Totally different. I don't put up with near as much now as I did back then. Seriously. Back then, I was afraid I was going to offend somebody. Now I'm not that worried about it. If it's the Lord's work, amen, the Lord's way, and it's the Bible. Amen. People look at you and treat you different. But Paul said, hey, he's a part of my team. Church work is the Lord's work. Amen. We're here this morning to preach the gospel. We want people to be saved. If you're here without Christ, Jesus Christ loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave as a gift his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's going to be every service some way. Needs to be a... And then edify. Today we're edifying about the Lord's work, that we need to be flexible, that we need to have vision. We're to be a family of team workers. We're to evangelize and edify. We're to have the vision of God's work. The church is to go forward. But at the same time, we need to have flexibility because life can change on a dime. Our church has experienced that over the last almost 2 years, year and a half. But at the same time, we're to remain faithful. And go ahead and write it down. Adversity will come. But let's work together for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.